This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
So Cass, firstly, welcome to Outspoken, and what a whirlwind the last couple of weeks have been for you. You've gone from, I suppose, relatively unknown on Matt's season of The Bachelor to this year's villain, of course, alongside Kieran. How has it been dealing with all this attention?
First of all, thank you for having me on the show. It has been absolutely nuts. It's been also so disheartening. Everything that's come out of it has been completely different to how I came out of Fiji. I came out on such a high. I met some great people. And then watching it back, you know, when I came out, I was like, oh, I'm not even worried about editing. This is too positive to be worried about anything. And then watching it was just so disheartening. You know, I've had some friends say to me that they enjoyed watching it because, you know, friends that know my humour, friends that could see what was edited, what was compounded, what was not, say that they still enjoyed watching me. But then I've had, you know, some friends stop watching it saying that they were nervous for me. So it has been an absolute whirlwind.
We always think it's so important to hear both sides of the story, of course, because there has been so much said about you. But we kind of wanted to start from the beginning because we'd love to hear how you were actually first initially approached to be on Bachelor in Paradise. And sort of, are you able to tell us, because I'm assuming there's lots of techniques the producers use to sort of make you return on the show.
Oh, yeah. So with The Bachelor, as you guys know, I've got a jewellery brand. So I've spent years building up my name to build my fine jewellery design business. And in 2018, I was in Melbourne and I met Lorena at my event. Lorena Fleur, who had been on Bachelor in Paradise and The Bachelor. And Lorena said to me, she's like, why are you single? You're so lovely. Why are you single? And so she put my name forward to casting. And me and my team that night, after packing up after the event, we said, how funny if something actually happens with this. And then in October, I actually received a DM from casting for the show and they said, hey, can we interview you, whatnot? And I said, yeah, sure. And then from the interview, they flew me to Melbourne and that's where I met Chelsea. And then I made it through the first round, then the second round, then the third and whatnot. So that's how I got onto The Bachelor. And I remember saying to my team members, I was like, you know, I said, first of all, what's the likelihood of me meeting a guy if there's this many girls? Because I was already in my 30s. I was quite particular about what I want and whatnot. I said, and they said, you know what, best outcome, you could meet the love of your life. The next outcome is you go and you have a great time. Third outcome is people might recognise you and then might love the brand.
Mm.
And they said, the opportunity has come to you for a reason, go for it. And that was my mentality as well. I thought, well, the opportunity has come my way, let's do it. Went on to The Batch, came out unscathed, you know, didn't have many, by comparison when I compare Bic, like I was an angel.
Mm-hmm.
So it came out unscathed. So then we fast forward to 2019, the show airs, and I was just like, you know, it was fine. It was, you know, lovely, whatnot. And in October, I'm waiting for this guy I speak to freaking make a move. And that's going nowhere. And I receive a phone call from casting, and they say to me, hey, Kat, have you thought about BIP? And I said, absolutely not. I have not thought about BIP. And they said, would you be keen? And they try to reel you in with the money aspect of it. And I said, and I was basically like, well, that's peanuts. You know, it's going to cost me more to come to you guys and leave at the busiest time of the year and have to basically have an employee cover my hours. Anyway, so I said no. Then they called me back after there was a long weekend in October. They called me back after that and were like, hey, Cask, you know, we've given you the weekend. We know you said no, but what do you think? And I said, no, it's no again. And so then in the meantime, Mary said to me, come on, I'm going on, come. And I had my team saying, hey, Cass, what have you got to lose? Which I look back at now and I'm like, oh, my God. And I said, all right, I'll go for a holiday. And you know, people were saying to me, there's more guys to girls. The ratio is better, you know. And so I call them back and I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'll do it. And they were like, great. And that was that. I knew Mary was going and I knew we'd have a good time. And that is kind of the backstory to going on to Bit.
And you touched on the money side of things. Are you offered more money to appear in Bachelor in Paradise than The Bachelor?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, you are. Now that I think about it, I'm like, with good reason. There's so much more at stake there.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I heard, I think it was the season that Alex Nation went on, I heard she was offered some huge amount of money and that the money is different. Do you know how much everyone else was offered? Was that something that was talked about?
I don't know how much Alex Nation was offered, but I definitely know that different people, some wouldn't speak about it because they were maybe offered more, but I could get in deep trouble for talking about
yeah, that's
this.
Okay. But I wonder how much Kieran was offered.
Well, to be honest, he should have very well asked for more. He didn't realise that he could have. And so now, but even before the show aired, he goes, oh, regret it now. I should have asked for more, like the other guys did. And I said, yeah, you should have. And now watching it air, I'm like, well, he definitely should have. It's brutal.
Now, the first big storyline we saw you involved in was, of course, with Kieran and Abby, and it appeared like you were both somewhat interested in getting his rose. And you received a lot of backlash because of your friendship with Renee, who, of course, had previously dated him. Can you explain your relationship with Renee prior to the show?
Absolutely. So myself and Renee probably knew each other in the house. I think she was in there about a week to 2 weeks, or a week and a half. And we formed a friendship and I thought she was so lovely. And then what happened outside of Paradise was actually, to be honest, we were friends on Facebook. We weren't friends on Instagram, which I found odd because everyone was told when the show was airing, we were told to unfollow each other. So we were essentially following each other and then we had to unfollow everyone as soon as publicity found out. They were like, everyone unfollow each other. You're not supposed to be doing that. And so following from that, we just never picked it up. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, I'm quite intuitive in how I think, like I'm a true Cancerian. But I thought, oh, that's a little bit odd. But, you know, I'm also the kind of person, like I'm too busy in my life. I didn't think to do anything about it or to say anything. And I just thought that was just the way Renee was. So then following from that, there must have been like only a handful of conversations between us in that year, like in 2019. So essentially from the show to Bachelor in Paradise, maybe 5 phone call conversations. Some were 3-ways or whatnot with other girls from the show. So when I look at how it's aired now, I was like, wow, using the word friend was a strong word when I actually look back, and I shouldn't have given that much credit to it. But nonetheless, that's the person I am. Like, I'm just, you know, if you talk to someone someone that does know me, they'll say, yeah, Cass is just a lovely person, whatnot. So as you can see in the apps, I'm like, yes, she's my friend and I'm positive about it. You can even see in the episodes post talking to Kieran that I'm just like, yeah, she's coming in, and then the Bulla Banquet telling her about what's happened. So before Paradise, she bought a ring for Kieran and had it engraved, and it's not the price that they've said online everywhere.
But oh, really? Yeah, weren't they saying $800 or something? Didn't Kieran say that?
Yeah, but that just goes to show how many lies have come out from this show. But anyways.
I wanted to see the ring. I wanted them to do a close-up of what the ring actually looked like.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Look, it's one of our memory rings that does really well, but it was sterling silver version of it. So it was really beautiful, had the date engraved. And the thing was, Renee didn't actually know myself or Mary were going on the show. Me and Mary were very tight-lipped about it. And it's funny, we're touching on zodiacs again. Myself and Mary are both Cancerians. So we kind of tend to be, we're very, it's almost guarded. It's almost like a guarded thing. We've got that protective shell of, you know, who can you trust, who can you not trust and whatnot. So me and Mary were very tight-lipped about going on the show. We actually didn't tell anyone. No one knew apart from me and Mary. Anyway, so when you see me and Renee meet on the show, it was total surprise by her to see us there. But, yeah, taking a step back to meeting Kieran and the whole Abby thing. So how the events unfolded. So basically, came into Paradise, met Kieran. I thought he was a great guy. To be honest, guys, like, and we'll hash on this, he's a guy in his 20s. He's never done anything wrong by me. I judge people on that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I still think highly of Kieran. And I know that's in opposition to what a lot of what people are saying, and we can touch on that soon, but I will never demean someone or speak badly of someone that hasn't done something directly to me and who I've, you know, once again, I'm 35, going in there when Kieran showed interest in me. The wise Cassandra, the Cassandra that has had toxic boyfriends, and the Cassandra has been through all that pain of, you know, is the word disingenuous relationship? So relationships where I've been lied to and manipulated and whatnot. I knew better than to pursue anything with Kieran. So it annoys the crap out of me seeing articles that say I pursued Kieran for what wasn't edited. Like, you guys would have heard all the editing. You never said see the words come out of my mouth. I'm in my 30s. I knew better not to go for him. I knew that looking at him, this guy's a bit of a bad boy. Unfortunately, some other girls that have ended up in situations with Kieran had to kind of have learned the hard way, which is a bit of pill to swallow, and it's not a nice situation to be in. So the thing about it was, no, I didn't pursue Kieran. So there is no Abby, Kieran and Cass thing. I didn't pursue it. It was edited that way, and it was garbage and it was crap to deal with. It really was. And I've never ever had anyone call me a snake, and for people to turn around and who were defending Renee, and it was on my 35th birthday that I had people sliding into my DMs saying, you're a snake, you're this, you're that. And it was just like, it was the most, I was always already hypersensitive about my birthday, and to see these things, I was just like, and I just found it so unfair that it was being portrayed in a way that didn't happen. A viewer noticed it, and I did share what she had said on my wall at the time, on my stories. She said, hey guys, listen to Cass's voice here. And it was like, I want to get to know the truth about his past relationship. So it was all completely different words from different sentences just shoved together. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. People actually believe that?
Yeah, because on the show, it looked like, so, you know, you had the Bulla banquet and you were framed, well, you were portrayed on the show as being a close friend of Renee, and you had put questions in the box asking Kieran, you know, how things had gone with Renee. And that's when the cheating came out. He admitted to cheating on Renee. But then later in the episode, it looks like you two were getting cozy and he tried to kiss you and you
exactly.
Talking. So what actually went down there? So he did
so
pull you away? Yeah.
So it's so nice to actually be able to talk about this, not just to girlfriends, but be able to talk to you guys, and mm-hmm. This will, you know, air and whatnot, shed light. So the box of truth. So we all put questions in. The producers ask us to put questions into this box, and I actually don't think I had a question that night.
I was going to say, I assume they put questions in as well.
Exactly. So I'm not sure any of my questions actually, if I had a question that night, because my questions for the Bulla banquets were always so generic, like like something like really boring, like, are you having fun in paradise? Like, really, things that the producers would absolutely toss out.
Just
the window.
Tear them up. Yeah.
Yeah. So what actually happened, before I give my response where I say Renee is a friend, Kieran had put a question in there. And Kieran's question was, will my past relationship affect a possible connection in paradise?
Right.
So it's really funny because Kieran, you know, after this had all wrapped up, he goes, Australia's going to see you reject me on TV. And then when it aired, I was just like, you're freaking kidding me.
Really?
I was like, wow. So that's what happened. So basically the question was directed toward me, but obviously they need to create a love triangle. They do, to create drama and whatnot, to pit two girls off of each other. It's gross, but yeah, that's what they did. So when we go for the chat, so yeah, it was quite cozy. It was quite fun. It was my first or second night in paradise. It was me laughing the entire time. Kieran is hilarious. It was so funny. They cut out where I said no, because the thing about it, like I told you guys, to me, Kieran, you know, attractive guy, whatnot, but I just wouldn't go there. I saw trouble. I know better.
He's 8 years younger than you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Not that we're judging, because like Sophie dates someone who's 5 years younger than her. So everyone's
wrong with it,
you know. But it's hard when they don't put guys in your age that you might be wanting to seek something from as well.
Yeah. Look, the only guys in my age group were like Jake Ellis and Jamie, really. those were my two options. So it was a bit, yeah. So they're great guys, though, those two. But yeah, like, you know.
But they might not be your cup of tea.
Yeah, just because they're the same age as you, it doesn't mean you're interested in them.
Exactly. I kind of didn't get to, you know, 34. I was 34 in paradise. And, you know, like I said, I am quite particular in my dating life. I'm not just going to get into paradise and settle for the first guy that's in my age group. So yeah, the conversation with Kieran was cozy. It was cute. But they did cut out the entire conversation of me saying, you know, I'd really like to chat with Renee. Renee's coming in here. There's history there. Mm. That was all cut out. And all they kind of kept in was my awkward little replies on, you know, to what we were discussing. And, you know, in hindsight now, it is what it is. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that conversation. It happened, things were cut, things were compounded. You saw that. I said to him, oh, I don't know whether to go in for a hug. And he goes, what about a kiss or something like that. And me, my nature is just to go, hee, 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 hee. So because, you know, In real life, I've got a lot of guys that, you know, do show interest and they do get friend zoned, you know, and we go out for dinners and we have nice chats and whatnot, but they're in the friend zone and that's that.
Well, we saw that with Naranga, but we'll touch on that later because there's obviously so much that's come out with him. But regarding the whole girl code, because you were called out for not having girl code because, you know, you've said that it was manipulated. But I think Renee, she obviously thought that this was all going on when she was watching Bachelor in Paradise back, and she put some Insta stories up of her, and I think it was Sam watching it, and she was heard calling you a few names and basically calling you out for not having girl code. Have you had the opportunity to clear all of this up with Renee, or are you guys not talking
at all? No. Like the thing is, it all got cleared up in bits. So she knew everything in paradise. So as soon as she came in and you heard some of the conversation at the Buller Banquet, I said Kieran showed interest in me and then kissed Abby, kissed Jess, and so basically said it all. Then we were on the paddle boards, I think, the next day, and I said, this is what happened. So it all got said at the Buller Banquet. I was really frank and blunt about it. So to be honest, like once that Buller Banquet scene got aired, I thought to myself, well, how silly must she feel now for saying horrible things in such an unclassy way when she had been told there. Kieran had obviously told her as well, because I think even in the last episode he said I was attracted to Cass and that was it, and then she was upset about it. I think the whole thing behind this, guys, and I'm going to be totally frank about it, when I look at the situation, the thing that I think Renee is not happy with the most is the fact that I had a friendship with Kieran. Kieran liked me. It never went anywhere. She has seen, because the thing is she wasn't following me, but she was looking at my Insta stories, like following Bip, which I thought was completely strange, but people do it, I guess.
Don't you love when you catch people out doing it? You're like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's just, when people do that, I'm just like, that's why? Why are you putting your energy somewhere? You're not following me as a friend. Why are you putting your energy there? And I get it. She was going through a tough time after the breakup, after paradise. And Kieran had come to my Melbourne studio. And also, me and Kieran had had dinner in Melbourne when I was there looking for a studio.
Is this after Bachelor in Paradise?
This is after Bachelor in right. Paradise. So we had had dinner because I'd been in Melbourne that day. It was supposed to be a fly-in, fly-out, and then my flight got delayed and whatnot. I ended up having to stay that night and catch a flight out the next morning. So Kieran was flying in and we quickly caught up for dinner that night. And so I think, yeah, Renee saw things like that. And the way I see it now, because Renee, Jess and Kiki are obviously all friends, they're relating on a level that they've all been hurt by the same guy.
Mm.
And I think what's unrelatable to Renee is the fact that Kieran showed interest, but there's only ever been like a emotional friendship connection there. You know what I mean? And I feel, you know, when talking to girlfriends and things like that, I feel like that's where some of that hate is stemming from. The fact that I wasn't hurt by him. I knew better than to go for him. And I think that's where it's coming from. And I have to forgive her for that and just acknowledge that, yeah, she's been hurt before, and being hurt is one of, you know, it's painful. Hurt is hurt. It's painful. And so coming, like, look, if we had stayed in touch more before Paradise and then following Paradise, things would have been different. I show great loyalty in my friendships, but the fact that, you know, we weren't even following each other on social media, I just didn't understand what was happening with that friendship. So yeah, there was nothing to kind of hold on to with that friendship. And now seeing what she went and said, I'm just like, well, that's not the kind of person I would want to keep in my life.
Do you feel for her in a way, though? Because, I mean, a lot of people watch Bachelor in Paradise and they saw the way it was portrayed as if you did have interest in Kieran. And to viewers, people would have gone, oh my goodness, where's the girl code? I mean, I remember watching it, and I know you have talked through and explained that, you know, it wasn't how it appeared. But do you feel like maybe she, even if you guys could have a chat and talk it through and explain that this never happened? Because it's so sad, I feel like, when there's a fallout over a guy. And to be honest, Kieran wasn't portrayed in the nicest way.
I feel like Renee's definitely not over Kieran yet, though. I don't know. Obviously well, this was filmed 8 months ago.
I'd only found this out today. I didn't realise it was only 4 weeks. You know, when they went to film Bachelor in Paradise, they'd broken up 4 weeks ago. So that kind of explains a lot about what she was going through.
Yeah, look, and I've even heard that she's asked him, like, did you kiss Kath? And he's once again said no. So it's just not believing what's happened, I guess. So
I can't blame her for not believing Kieran, though. He hasn't come across as the most trustworthy person, which blows my mind, because so many of those things that Kieran did were obviously filmed and he knew would come out. How did you find Kieran's portrayal on the show? Because obviously you mentioned that you're still friends.
Yeah, so look, after how I've been portrayed particularly, I'm quick to spot what's been edited and what's not, and when they're exaggerating things, compounding things, not showing the parts where he did apologise to Matt. And, you know, I'm watching it going, man, you should have walked off this show like after the first Buller Banquet. I'm literally, you know, being in there is a completely different thing to now watching it. It's just like, he got hounded at those Buller Banquets, hounded. So you can absolutely see where, you know, these looks that he's giving, he's just over it.
Mm.
And then you take into account every boxy, every interview, he's got to repeat himself. So I was watching it going, Kath, you should have given up hope that anyone your age was coming in, and you should have just left.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. I wanted to stay in the hope that someone great would come in. And now I'm just like, man, you should have left like week two. You should have just walked out of there. So, yeah, I can definitely see the editing and things. I can see how it's coming across. I don't think anyone should be crucified if they don't. Trolls are trolls. Like, they don't know the person. And on a personal level, I think people shouldn't pass judgment on something that's supposed to be entertaining. Mm. It's essentially like Home and Away. We're just like now, really.
That's right. I was going to say, do you think that before all of you embarked on your journey in paradise, as they call it, do you think that they'd already set their sights on making yourself and Kieran the villains of the show?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. So basically, I've had a few people come to me and say, Cass, like, we feel like you've actually been targeted by the network and you were pigeonholed into this category, and that they, you know, they might have done it purposely because you're strong, you've built this and whatnot. And I don't know, I'm so exhausted, I don't actually even know what to make of that, like whether I agree with it, whether I don't. I'm just, there's part of me that goes, that makes sense. And then there's part of me that goes, well, wait, if they were pushing me towards Jackson, and Jackson was my better option at the time there, so I'll own going for him. But if they were doing things to kind of sway, you know, things that just were being said and whatnot to me, did they do it because they did think we'd have a better connection, or they did do it so it looked like I'm cutting Brittany's lunch and, you know, being made to be that way? Because the thing about me as well is I don't make the first move with guys. I am a bit old school, and I do wait to, you know, to kind of for the guy to come forward. So I am left with a lot of questions, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah, and I've had to really, in my mind, just put everything into its kind of category and go, was this a personal attack? Should I have ever done this? What to do now? Will this affect that? So it's been a lot to process. But when people come at me and say that they feel that it was purposely done, I go, oh, wow, was it?
Yeah, makes you think.
And in regards to Kieran, I would definitely say the same thing. Who knows? Who knows whether you give one inch and they take it a mile, whether they knew he'd kind of do that and would be a bit a lot undecisive in who he wanted to continue with. So I just, yeah, I have no idea. And it's tough to think that, you know, they would purposely set out to do that, but I guess they've got a show to make. It's one of those things, because I got along so well with the cameraman and the producers, you know, speaking to the producers sometimes was like speaking to a girlfriend, which is how they get the most out of you sometimes as well, for the things that did actually come out of my mouth.
Well, that's the thing, because you become so relaxed with that person and you say things, and then I, you know, because Soph and I, we've worked as producers on TV shows. It was RBT, so it was a little bit different to The Bachelor. But, you know, you're meant to, you know, you're told to befriend people and to, you know, because it gets people to say things and feel comfortable around you. So the producers obviously did a great job, but it's hard when some of those grabs are taken out of context, because we were speaking to Janie from Bachelor in Paradise, and she was saying how they do kind of cut to the chase. So you might have said, oh, I do, you know, this person's really nice, but they're not for me, but they'll just show they're not for me bit.
Absolutely. Oh, they cut out in every single time that I said Kieran is a great guy, but it's just a friend thing for me. I just see him as a friend. There's just so much, and then so many things that get compounded, backstories to things as well. So it's just like, honestly, I feel like there's a story for everything, and I don't want to be one of those people that is like, editing, but it is freaking edited. It's like, I can only take claim for the things that came out of my mouth, and so, you know, people that are on the show that got a good edit that are saying, oh, yeah, just saying it's editing. It's like, well, you would say that. You got a fine edit. You were fine.
Kira came out in your defense, and she was very vocal on an Insta story. Yeah. And she actually labeled the editing process as unfair, and she said people behind the show are the real villains. You said that you had a good relationship, but do you actually see sort of, I suppose, do you look at the people differently now that have put the show together?
I do. Yeah, I do. Look, they do, that's their job though. But I even had a crush on one of the producers.
Oh, really?
So I was like, gosh, he's gorgeous. and they knew to put him with me each time, because that's when I was giving the most stuff. And, you know, he would do the funniest things and I would laugh and then I'd continue the conversation. And so I think there were two actual times I feel like what was aired too. Out of everything that got aired, there were two things that actually came out of my mouth that I'm like, I completely own that. And you could just, I remember the things that he did to make me kind of go down this rabbit hole of, you know, but it is what it is. It was like talking to a girlfriend almost. So you take ownership of that. You just more like my batch experience. I wasn't aired because I never purposely would say anything to the camera about anyone. You know what I mean? And that also happened in BIP, bar a couple of times.
Do they interview you when you've had a few drinks as well? Is there any sort of those
Well, the thing is, I don't actually drink.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I actually love that because I don't drink either, and it was refreshing to hear from someone who doesn't drink. And you know.
Yay. That's so good. You know what's funny is they brought it up a couple of times on the show. I think there was one time Kieran getting me a drink, and I said, oh, make mine a mocktail. Thanks. I'll have a mocktail pina colada. And then it came up another time when talking to Scotty. I was like, no, I don't drink. And I thought to myself, I wonder why they're showing that. And I remember that I know there was a study recently done in Adelaide about how they try to get people drunk on the show.
That's right. I saw that.
Yeah. And I think that, I don't know, I think that they purposely tried to put that, I don't know, they either tried to make me look like a bit more of a control freak or it was put in to just show that there's diversity in, you know, that not everyone is drinking on this show, guys.
I saw someone write in the comments like, oh, she's no fun. She doesn't even have a drink. And because I don't drink, I was like, that is so rude. Like, you know, I just think it's just funny the culture of drinking that we have in Australia. Just, yeah.
Absolutely, which is why I think Brittany was so much more relatable to people. Essentially, you're going to side with someone that you can relate to, and she definitely, like, yeah, loved to have a good time and whatnot. So I think that's why there was, you know, there was a great contrast between the person Brittany is and to who I am and whatnot. So they could very well play on that. It all makes sense looking back. Like, I look back and I'm like, aha, you wanted me to say, like, give me the opportunity to say Jackson at the rose ceremony. You wanted me to have the date card first, and you know.
Oh yeah, when I was watching that, I'm like, it's so clearly manipulated. Of course they let you go before. Yeah, it's so obvious to someone who's actually in tune with, you know, looking for those things. Like, I feel like some people watch these shows and just take everything for fact. It's
I know. Whereas when I was in there, I was like, because, you know, I had the producers like friends coming up and going, you guys would make such a cute couple. And I'm like, yeah, we would. He's a bit too young for me, though. Like, 10 years is a massive age gap for me.
And I'm kind of in love with the producer. The cute producer.
Did anything happen with the producer? Like, have you hit him up afterwards or anything?
No. On my last interview, I was like, hey, I was like, slide into my DMs. He lives in another state, though. I was like, slide into my DMs.
Bloody COVID.
Slide into mine. He goes, slide into mine. And I did, and he never responded.
Oh, maybe he felt bad about the editing. Maybe
Exactly. And he's got a girlfriend now anyway. Oh. So I'm happy for him. That's beautiful. But yeah, so exactly. I think he probably thought, oh, you're going to be a train wreck. Like, after you see this, you're just going to get slaughtered. So he probably knew.
How is your relationship with her now? Because obviously there was a little bit in the show with the competition rivalry between you and Jackson.
Yeah, no, Brittany does not like me. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm all for her as Bachelorette. But when I sent her a message regarding, because there was a sentence that didn't come out of my mouth that got played over. It was something like, you're no threat or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's no competition and...
Yeah, and once again, it was just all words edited to form a sentence because none of it came out of my mouth. I sent her a message and to which she basically refuted it and said, to be honest, we did, our personalities did clash in Paradise, and that's okay because not everyone is always going to get along. But yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that she kind of refuted my message, and I did say, I'm so sorry you feel that way. I thought you might have that response to it. But I think, to be honest, like, I'm kind of unapologetic about who I am, but also am sorry for certain things. I think probably to her I'm too chilled and relaxed. Like, I am super relaxed. Like, what will be, I'm sorry for this. Yeah, putting it into words is very hard, but we aren't always going to get along with people. You know, you take two different personalities like that, and you know, I don't drink, Brittany does. I'm super chilled. I realised quite quickly she is hypersensitive. There was just a lot of clashing with personalities. So I've tried to, you know, make amends on certain things, but yeah.
Do you regret the way any of the things you said about her came out? Because do you feel like it's not reflective of what you actually meant?
Yeah, 100%, 100%, yes. And I take ownership of the things that I did say that came out of my mouth. And I'm sorry for the things that did get edited as well. Like, there's nothing that's out of my control. And I feel like this is also why the love triangle was pushed, because we didn't get along in paradise. It was just one of those things, like, you know, there were other people in who you obviously gravitate more towards. And
you guys are polar opposites. It was evident.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So no, I think that relationship is almost like a regret to me. Well, I don't know if I'd say regret, but it's something that I'm, most sorry for. And I wish that I'd, you know, the backstory to that is that, you know, something got said this one day, not started by me, but definitely finished by me. So, which I kind of don't, you know, I look back and I'm just like, well, Cassandra, you're the one in your 30s. You should have been more softer. Softer is the word I would say. Softer, knowing that she was hypersensitive. I should have been softer. And, you know, there were times in there that I did try and talk to her and things like that. But I think, yeah, certain people at certain ages don't want an apology, won't accept an apology. Yeah. And I think I've got to forgive myself in that sense as well, and just go, well, Cass, you can't help everything.
At least you know in your heart of hearts that you reached out and you tried to make amends and you've apologized and everything like that. So that's really lovely to hear. Yeah. We've got to obviously touch on the Naranga controversy. And
yeah.
I'm sure you've seen he's been quite vocal on his Insta story, because, you know, there's been so many articles calling you out about that, you know, you made claims about the editing process, which we've touched on.
Oh, is he still being vocal?
Well, I think it was last week or the week, when was it?
I believe it was last week.
Last week he came out and he said, when one particular comes out saying that they got a bad edit, it infuriated me. There were so many more nasty comments to me and other people. One particular moment telling several people they wouldn't take me back to the parents because of where I came from, can't pronounce my name and doesn't even know where I'm from. I accept rejection. It's life, but this I don't. Not once have they apologized. You know the one. Now, obviously he didn't name you, but I'm assuming he's talking about you.
You know, when that came out, I actually said, who's he referring to? I was like, what is this? And the fact that then people started tagging my name, I think that is truly, like, out of this whole experience, that would have to be the most disheartening. That would definitely have to be the most disheartening one. And there's a lot of backstory to the friendship with Naranga and certain things that Naranga did that I'm not going to play the victim on that, and I will always happily chat to you guys, like, afterwards, like, as a girlfriend, off the record, to enlighten you like my girlfriends are. Yeah, there was definitely a lot of backstory, and there's only so many times you can say no to a guy. And yes, I did stuff up his name in the first week of knowing him. I could not grasp his name, and that's totally on me. I had to actually break it down. I had to break it down, because I don't know why, but I was having a lot of trouble with his name. So that's absolutely true in the first week, 5 days of filming. So I'll wear that. I'll own it. I'm human. I make mistakes, and I'm sorry for that. The other crap is exactly that, and is the most disheartening thing about it. And anyone that knows me and knows the guys I've dated, and, you know, just knows that myself, my family, there's no prejudice towards any race or religion. So absolutely, I would welcome, like, I would take home any guy if I thought he was a beautiful person to take home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's lovely to hear, because you came out in the Advertiser, which is, of course, an Adelaide newspaper, and you spoke about how, you know, there was some editing going on, and can you enlighten us? It was about the comment that you said, it looked like you said he was gross.
So that date was very, it was so one-sided with the narrating. So what actually happened was went on to the date and one of the producers told me to mention that something that Naranga had done to me, something which actually didn't get aired. So there's probably no point in bringing that up. And I said to her, I said, if I say that, he's going to hate me. This guy's going to hate me if I bring that up. And I didn't bring it up, but I alluded to the fact of what he had, of what had happened. But basically it was just a situation where Naranga asked something of me and I said, no, I'm in here for the right reason. I'm not going to do that, to which he was disappointed. And stepping out onto that date, as soon as I got there, he started picking at my faults. And I was kind of like, you know when you're not going out with someone and they start to pick out all your faults and you kind of wonder, what's the purpose of this? It's not like we're a couple that's trying to heal and do better and move forward. We're literally friends. I don't get it. I don't get why I'm being picked on. So there was a lot of heat coming towards me from Naranga. And like anyone that knows me, like my friends were like, we could see how frustrated you were getting. Like it was just becoming too much. There was a vein on the side of my neck. I had a cold at the time. Everyone in Fiji had gastro. And you could tell I was pale. A lot of friends said, oh, you look sick on that episode. I'm like, thanks.
I remember you wearing casual clothes. I remember you had like an oversized t-shirt on. Like you just looked really comfy.
You looked like you had dressed for this is not a hot day. Yeah. This is a friendship thing happening. I've been called in last minute to go on this date and I'm not interested.
That's what I'd do if I wasn't interested in someone. You'd just be like, whatever, it's a friend. Dress like a friend.
Exactly. Absolutely right. So Naranga starts, picking on me and this whatnot, and we start having this dispute. And then the fire swellers came. But when you look at the interview, you hear me say, like, they played it differently. They played the fire swellers coming, and I say in the interview, oh, now the fire swellers have come. I don't have to talk to him anymore. But they hadn't preluded with the whole argument. They showed that after the fire swellers. So I just look like a bitch saying, I don't have to talk to him anymore. The fire swellers are come. So all my lead up in the interview had been like, this happened. And then he said this and this bloke and, this bloke won't let me go. And, it was all compounded and it looked very horrible. And now the growth thing. So as you can hear, I'd lost my voice like basically the entire second half. So after getting sick with gastro, I also lost my voice and whatnot. All good. So I did my interviews like that. But what happened was the producer that I liked, like I coughed and he said to me, Cass, do you want to spit it outside? Mm-hmm. And that's where I said gross. And they put that straight after me saying, we are definitely not lovers. Gross.
I actually, because I watched it, my boyfriend doesn't allow me to watch it on TV. I have to wear headphones and watch on my laptop. So I could hear I knew that was in reference to your cough because you had just coughed. And I actually thought at the time, they're clearly trying to make it sound like she's calling Naranga gross.
I think that's so nasty to Naranga for them to put that in as well. I mean, and to you, for you saying it, but it's sort of, I don't know. That is gross that they did that. That's what's gross about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the saddest thing with the Naranga situation was I was actually coming out of paradise. I was hopeful that there were no hard feelings, that even on the 16th of July, I messaged him and I said, hey, just checking, there's no hard feelings since this bit. Is there? To which I didn't receive a reply. And I think that the whole thing of him coming out was kind of, it was definitely let's kick Cass while she's down, 100%. So that's how I feel. That's my perspective on it. Because, there was already other things coming out to which I was just like, wow. So I'm sorry if he, because obviously in that episode, Brittany didn't want to go on a date and then they make it sound like I just, and then it just looks like he's being rejected by these two girls. So I actually feel very sorry for that situation. And, I can obviously talk about the editing on my end and how it's made me feel. But you take that and you think about how he must have felt. That's total crap,
It's interesting because Brittany was crying because she didn't want to go out on a date with him, but she was cast as, like, that wasn't nasty to cry. Anyway, it was really interesting the way that they...
No, but it's a great point that Cass makes that she, you obviously feel really bad for Naranga, how that was all you know, aired on television to make him look like two people weren't interested. And I'm sure there are so many girls out there, well, that I know there are, that love Naranga, and I'm sure he's probably a few people are sliding into his DMs right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, when I first met him, you know, I was, like you do when you meet someone, you're gaining knowledge on who they are as a person and whatnot. And I did. I thought he was a lovely guy. But then, like I said, there are things that did happen that I was like, oh, I don't like that and I don't like that. And so as it went through the show and, you know, I continually was saying, no, we're just friends. My perception from what I initially thought at the start was tainted, definitely to leaving the show and seeing some things. And, yeah, it is what it is. And that's the whole idea of getting to know someone. And we're not always going to, you know, think that, you know, sometimes we think something of someone at the start and then our perception changes. And it is what it is. But, yeah, he's I'm sure he's going to find someone great because he can be very funny. He can be kind when he wants to be. And, yeah, like there's lots of attributes to him that someone will find very lovely. So yeah,
definitely. Well, talking about love life, just to wrap this all up, because I'm sure you've got a lot of work to do. it's been 9 months since you guys filmed. Have you found love, or are you still looking for love?
I wouldn't say I'm looking for love. I haven't found love yet. My life is very, and this is the thing with going on both shows, my life is very fulfilled. So, you know, you do these things in the, you know, thinking that something amazing could happen, but also knowing full well that not searching for something and having a fulfilled life, there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm excited for when someone who is completely amazing, supportive, beautiful, wonderful does step into my life, and I'll know that this is how it was all supposed to unfold and this was all supposed to happen. So my heart is still very open to that.
And we're in Adelaide, of course, so is there anyone that you're looking for? Because I'm trying to go through people I know and I'm like, oh my gosh, have this guy, because I know a guy who's really driven and he's got his own business, and I was like, oh,
you stop playing matchmaker here.
Oh, guy.
Yeah, maybe off mic we'll have to tell you his name.
No, but I don't know. I don't know what your type is, because it was so, you know, on Bachelor in Paradise, so obviously didn't really, you know, there was a lot of people that you were passing roses with, but there wasn't really anyone that seemed to be your type. Like, what is your type?
My type is definitely, like, I'm all about, yes, tall, dark, handsome, humorous, kind. Someone, you know what, like, it's not as if I need someone on, you know, I've built something, but they don't need to be on that level. But from the guys I've dated that have felt, you know, there's been guys that have gone, oh, you know, that do kind of feel intimidated, which is a real shame. So my friends have, you know, I've heard a lot of people say to me, you do need someone that's on your level, like work-wise, otherwise they won't feel up. And I'm like, okay, well, if that comes along, then great. So, yeah, I appreciate guys that are driven. I do judge on zodiac signs, though.
Okay. I don't know what zodiac sign is.
I don't judge on anything else.
We'll have to find out what his zodiac sign is before then.
I was going to say.
Earth sign or water sign.
Okay.
Is great. I've had too many Geminis that haven't worked out. I've always given it another shot, but it's just never quite worked out.
Well, do you know what? At least you know men don't really watch Bachelor in Paradise, so no one will have any preconceived ideas, I feel like.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah, it's funny that there was a guy that I did like that it's the one that it's just been dragging on for so long and I was like, oh, I feel like he's got to watch it. And then, but the thing is, he knows me, so I'm sure he, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't take everything to heart that he saw, obviously, because he does know me as a person. But it's still so cringeworthy to know what's out there. It's just like,
Yeah, when you Google yourself.
Like, as in out there of what was portrayed, I mean, not guys. Like,
oh, yeah. No, I know, yeah, like when you Google yourself and you're like, oh, God. I mean, I don't know if men actually Google
But the
girls,
fact that they've got 10 play as well, where you can watch back all the old episodes whenever you want. And
I don't think they'd do that. So, exactly. No, I'm so open to it. So we'll definitely have to catch up another time, and then you can, we can have more of a more of a chat.
Yeah, for sure.
It's been so fun chatting to you guys.
Yeah, and thank you for being so open and honest as well. It's been really interesting hearing
Thanks,
what's actually happened.
Thank you.